Hey, Breadwinter. Welcome to Outsite Radio Hours.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good, man. I've been enjoying the music on Breadwinter.1 quite a bit. The sonic audio collage is there and sharing them with the audience.
Oh, glad you like it.
Yeah, I do. How long did it take to put this opus together?
Oh, it's been about a half a year or something like that. Yeah, I started in May of 2012, December to December 2012. So, yeah, quite a while.
When you're putting together a piece like this, do you get interested in a clip and then explore it? Or hearing a clip, do you sense the rhythm that's in it?
Well, generally, Tom, I'll tell you, like with me, it's kind of like my songwriting, too. I'll usually have to have some kind of groove, be it a rhythm from a guitar or something, or from a loop I'll make or something like that. Or sometimes it'll be something that'll, you know, create that spark, you know. But, yeah, it'll come from something, yeah, like a groove or something like that.
And tell me about this name, Breadwinter.
Mm-hmm. Breadwinter, that's actually an old group name that goes back to the 80s. I was more into, like, gothy-type music back then, and Bread, it was kind of like a contrast. Bread would mean, like, abundance, and winter would mean, like, desolation and, you know, sparsity and stuff like that. So that's where I came up. And it's kind of a play on the word breadwinter, you know, instead of just breadwinter.
In that sort of collision of opposites, you hinted as kind of like a Jello Biafra sort of thing.
Yeah, kind of like that. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting you said that the gothic references, because listening to the music, that's some of the stuff I felt playing along with it that I saw went well, from Eva O of Christian Death to Cassandra Complex.
Okay.
Do you still listen to some of that music today?
Yeah, quite a bit, yeah. I was always a big Cure fan, and Bauhaus and Siglo XX and all kinds of stuff, really, yeah.
So is another year from now we might have a Breadwinter.2?
Oh yes, actually I'm working on it as we speak, along with a new solo album too. So yeah, I was working on a piece. I just got to add a couple of tracks to it, maybe, and it'll be ready. So yeah, it'll be an ongoing thing.
Well, great. I look forward to hearing that and maybe being able to talk to you about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these titles I think are really interesting. Some of them are obvious because they come from quotes in there. Actually, right now, the audience can hear in the background as we're talking, Galama Hoblin?
Well,
what about that series of syllables? Where does that come from?
Oh, gosh. I was reading a book about the Manson family. I think it was The Family by Ed Sanders. And he talks about these stacks of chimneys. They're out in the middle of the desert somewhere, some kind of industrial complex that was in the desert, and it looked like giant oblong loaves of bread. And I just, rather than, I was going to abbreviate that at first, and for some reason I didn't do it. And I had the bit in there where the British guy was screaming about hobgoblins. So I just made a nonsensical word, Galama Hoblin, out of that. So that's where that came from, a bit of surrealism there with that, yeah.
That is interesting. I've read a fair amount about the Manson family, and I've got the Sanders book. I haven't got around to that one yet, but people have told me it's a unique slant because at the time he was one of the few ones that were trying to understand the incidents from sort of the family's episode, mm-hmm. point of view, I should say.
That's probably one of my favorite books, too. I got the updated one, too, where it goes to, like, 1975 or something like that as well. No, pardon me, it goes to the 80s, actually. Stuff that went on.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I didn't even know there was a newer edition. Mm-hmm. One of the ones I like a lot is Garbage People. Did you read that one?
No, I didn't.
So, back to Breadwinter, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Where these quotes we're hearing, like in Wacky Gauges and Protons Turning, I'm Trying to Eat My Composure, which is I played right before. Mm-hmm. I don't recognize them. These films, found sounds, what are they?
Oh, it's here and there. I get here and there and everywhere, really. I just pick up stuff and whatever adds to it. you know, it'll go. Like, for example, like neither of those, but on the headless toy horse, I have a friend in England named Adam Bauman. He sends me these cool audio letters, and he'll be talking about anything and everything. This guy actually walks around England with a tape recorder. Wherever he goes, he records it. So I get a very personal view of England, and which I love, because I'll probably never be able to go there, and I love the place, you know. And the headless toy horse, that was actually him talking on part of that. And other things, you know, it's found stuff I find, you know, here and there, you know. Just basically, I just go with it.
So is these letters to you that he's recording all this?
Yeah. He does that for a lot of other home tapers, too. That's a thing he does, which, sadly, that may be curtailed because they raised the price of postage so much. Recently, I tried to send a cassette to my friend Mark Ritchie in Scotland, and they wanted $9.45 for that, which is, you know, unbelievable. So that's going to severely limit us getting back and forth to each other, which is sad. But, yeah, Adam used to send these, like, almost 3-inch thick packages of audio letters and stuff. He's in an experimental music band as well. So, but I'll definitely miss getting those in bulk like I used to.
And when you said their cassette, we're talking audio cassettes, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I had no idea this is still a thriving underground media format.
I wouldn't know about thriving. I hear they're making a comeback with it. The problem is, like, I still have a fully functioning 8-track, but it needs position 2 tape, and it's very hard to find. And if you can find it, it's usually somewhere like Guitar Center or Sam Ash, and they're kind of pricey. So, you know, it's I could still do them, you know, if I could get position 2 tapes, but all you can get are position 1s now, if that, you know.
What do you like about the medium? What attracts you to it?
2 cassettes?
Yeah.
Well, I just basically use them for, I'll have like a handheld recording Walkman when I get ideas. I'll use them, or, you know, making mixtapes for friends or stuff for people, you know, like overseas. I'll send a cassette because I don't have a CD burner per se, except on my system I record my music on. So I just use it for things other than my recordings. My recordings, I do it on CD.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, it's been fascinating talking to you. I really enjoy it. I'm really enjoying Bread Winter, and I've got more of it queued up I want to share for the audience.
Okay.
Hey, before I get to that, could you do me a favor and remind the audience who you are and what they're listening to?
This is Dan Cisneroaka, Breadwinner, and you're listening to Outsite Radio.